This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. As chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times, Carl Hulse has covered 8 presidential and 17 congressional elections. Hulse is also the author of the behind-the-scenes book On Washington and oversaw the development of First Draft, the Times' daily political email newsletter. He's also a 1976 graduate of Illinois State University. Carl Hulse, thanks for joining us on Sound Ideas.
Great. Glad to be here. Always fun to be back at ISU.
Let's talk about your employer first, the failing New York Times. Anything you'd like to say about that?
We are not failing. Now, that's an interesting thing. Donald Trump coined that as his attack line on us. The funnier thing is that we're actually succeeding. Subscriptions, digital subscriptions are way up, print even up. I mean, we're reaching more people than ever before. So we're not failing. Donald Trump has a sort of tortured relationship with the Times. He wants to be loved by the New York Times. He's just not there yet. So he kind of gets mad. And one thing I tell people, it's interesting. I've been at the Times for 30 years in some capacity or another, and we've always been under attack. I mean, it's a high-profile place. You're always hearing it from someone. The funny thing now is people come up to me and thank me and offer to bake me pies and stuff. So it's had kind of a weird reaction.
Well, isn't it interesting, though, that maybe that digital subscriptions are up and real subscriptions to the print version of the Times are up. And I think you're adding more staff as well because of Donald Trump.
Yeah, no, our office in Washington has, I think, over 100 people right now, which is the most it's ever had. Since I've been there since 1985. So, yeah, he's creating, isn't that the irony, right, that Donald Trump in his war with the media and specifically the New York Times is actually helping the media and the New York Times. I ran into an executive at the Washington Post the other day who said, Trump calls them the Amazon Washington Post because
Jeff Bezos. Right.
And but he goes, I think you guys do better with failing. I kind of wish he would call us failing.
So. it's a sort of a badge of honor, I suppose. Yeah. What about the things the president says? How do you decide to cover what he says? Are tweets news?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, tweets are news. This is a debate that I never really got. Because this is the president of the United States, right? And there's one person on Twitter who has taken the president's tweets and put them on White House letterhead as a statement from the president. So, I mean, you have to consider this tweet a statement from the president. In fact, we know more about this president's thinking and what's going on with him than we do previous ones because they wouldn't expose themselves like this. So, during the day, we keep a pretty close eye on it. And we've all pretty much come to the agreement. Yes, we cover almost every tweet. If it makes news, if it's just one of the dumber tweets or a commentary on some person or other, that might not be it. But when he starts tweeting about DACA or North Korea, certainly news.
What are you hearing from political and bureaucratic leaders on a regular basis in Washington? You're in Washington. What are they saying about this president privately?
if you could get them to go public, they're confused and concerned. But for different reasons. Some of the Republicans are concerned that he may turn out to be a Democrat in disguise and making some deals, so they're alarmed there. It's just the chaotic atmosphere, the inconsistency of the positions. I mean, look at DACA, the program for
immigrant children.
Yeah, who were brought here as children. And, he's been all over the place on this. So it's like, where's the consistency? What's he really want? What's he going to do? So there's some concern. I think that the main concern is North Korea, right? This is what people really look at. It's like, okay, here's a spot that has super severe global implications and for us. And, what are they actually going to do? And I think there's a lot of reliance on, say, General Mattis at the Defense Department or McMaster in National Security Advisor, that they're going to, keep things on, a maintainable level. But yeah, there's a lot of concern, and it's
so like, McMaster today was sort of smoothing over a tweet. I think it was yesterday where Trump, the president of the United States, was mocking the leader of North Korea, calling him Rocket Man.
Yeah. I saw that Rocket Man, Elton John. One of the first concerts I ever saw at ISU, by the way, was Elton John. And he sang Rocket Man. And it was sort of the first time
I heard it. We'll end with that song after the interview, okay?
Because so it seemed appropriate. Yeah, I mean, you just can't, in normal diplomacy, have these kind of...
What's normal anymore?
Well, what is normal? And, you know, I wrote a piece over the weekend about this bipartisanship that's going on in Washington right now. And the part of the problem is that people haven't even seen this kind of thing before. It's just so new. And John Cornyn is quoted in there saying, you know, this guy came in here to shake things up, and that's what he's doing. So people feel kind of shaken up in Washington, that's for sure.
And we'll get to some of the bipartisanship in just a moment, Chuck and Nancy and the president. There are those who think this president is doing harm to institutions, that he's changing the presidency, for instance, in a permanent way that's harmful to the office, maybe harmful to democracy. What would you tell those people?
I think in some ways it's cutting both ways, to tell you the truth. I know that's a political answer, but I think there is some things going on with institutions that are potentially harmful long term, including the presidency itself. I mean, the way he's operating as a president is different than any previous president has operated. And, you know, we'll have to see at the end whether he's degraded the office. Some people think he has degraded the office. The State Department, for instance, being hollowed out, you know, a big arm of the United States government that's been powerful for a long time is really suffering in this administration. They just don't want to do anything at the State Department.
Where is the president on all of the appointments that need to be made?
I mean, he's far behind. They've made some progress.
But much further behind than any other administration
and
in modern history.
And in the State Department, you know, there's a... You know, there's whole floors over there that I'm told that, you know, there's just nobody working there and people are leaving. So I think that that personnel side of things is potentially bad, going to take years to change it back. Now, Donald Trump and his inner circle would say, well, you know what, we don't need all these jobs. And part of our approach is not to fill these jobs. So I'm purposefully not doing it. But I do think that that could change. Now, I have a weird take on this, though, in another way from other people in Washington. Congress has, over the previous presidencies, really become less powerful, and it's given away a lot of its power. And it's because members didn't want to make hard decisions, and they want to punt everything to the White House.
And it's incremental, and they don't get it back either.
No,
you
never get it back. Any power seized by a White House is only built upon by the next White House. And I think we're seeing Congress, to some degree, trying to get some of its power back. And I actually think, in some ways, that that's a good thing, and that our institutions are being challenged in a way that they haven't been before. But they're also standing up at least a little bit. Now, you know, we're very short time into this presidency, but I think that
it doesn't seem that way.
I know people think it's been going on forever.
Well, we're entering what, the eighth or ninth month?
Ninth month. The other day, I think. You know, we still have to see. I think there are some pretty serious long-term consequences from this presidency that we don't even know yet.
Carl Hulse, thanks for joining us on Sound Ideas. We appreciate it.
Happy to do it. Thank you.
Carl Hulse is the chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times. This is GLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media.